historiography is flawed, and history is flawed. When you actually look at what history is the study of the written record. That's what separates it from archaeology. Archaeology is the study of artifacts. History is the study of the written record. And this is the great weakness of history. The written record is always written by people, and people are always biased. So anything you read, think back to your source analysis, anything you read is going to have a bias within it. May not be intentional, it may be intentional, doesn't matter. It's gonna contain a bias. And this is the really fundamental flaw, quite a fatal flaw for history. Archaeologists would argue that when you look at material and objects, there is no bias in it because it either has generally binary data within it or it doesn't. Therefore, we have to understand what people are writing in the context of their own personal prejudices and bias. And that's really what historiography is. Historiography is the author's viewpoint on something. Now, we could take this and we could look at a practical example, and we could look at something from your own life, for example. And that could be like, let's say you're watching a football game. If your team that you're supporting gets utterly defeated, you will most likely say the reason for that is the opposing side was cheating. The opposing side, you know, was in some way given an advantage. Your team on that day, for some reason, was nobbled by A, B, C, or D. Oh, well, they had the... You'll make excuses for why you lost. Of course, the person on the other side will be saying that your team lost because they were the inferior team, because they were the worst and their team was the best. We all carry these prejudices in everything that we do. You know, if you see a fight, oh, it was their fault, oh, it was their fault. This is really what historiography looks like in day-to-day life. But when we move this and when we put this into an actual historical context, you can see people also having their sort of favorite views. The Cold War is a classic example. Now, there were four main schools of historiography, for example, for the Cold War. There is the American view, which is that Russia started the Cold War. There is the Russian view, which is that Americans started the Cold War. There's the modified view, which is also an American view, but it was modified decades later, which is that both Russia and America started the Cold War, although they may not have intended it. And then there's the post-94 view, which is that actually Russia didn't intend to start the Cold War. In fact, neither side intended to start the Cold War, and it just sort of happened through a series of misunderstandings. All of those perspectives are legitimate. You could write an essay, a book, an article, and people do, using any one of those four historiographical perspectives. But each of those perspectives is saying something very, very different to the others, using the same evidence, generally, but the conclusions are very, very different based on the bias, the prejudice, whatever is driving that, that you actually have behind that canon of theory. And you need to be aware, and this is why we have source analysis, that whenever anything is written, anything you look at will generally not only have the prejudices of the author, but those prejudices fit into this higher tier of theory. And that higher tier of theory is historiography. So when you're looking at colonial writers, for example, you're looking at Rudyard Kipling, a lot of his sentiments are completely unacceptable by our standards, because he's writing within the standards of the day. And that has become a past perspective. That has become a historiographical perspective. Our perspective today, all of the issues we have at the moment, such as the emergent left and the use of woke, let's say, and personal pronouns, these things which are defining this period of history in some capacity, that will also become in the future a historiographical perspective. And then we'll see what the legacy of that is, whether that legacy is that becomes enshrined in our, you know, in culture more broadly, or whether there is a reaction to that, we don't know. But that is a particular perspective that we see. And in fact, it's a very good illustration of historiography at work, because one of the ideas within this sort of leftist movement at the moment is that history should be corrected from the point of view of politics. Oh, no, not necessarily from the point of view of politics, from the point of view of an ideological agenda. So in the UK at the moment, we have a new TV series being put together, which is about Anne Boleyn, the wife of Henry VIII. And Anne Boleyn is played by a black actress. Well, the issue, the reason why this is contentious is that Anne Boleyn, we have lots of paintings of her. She was not black, she was white. We know this. So then there are arguments on both sides. One set of arguments is that it's wrong to portray history inaccurately, particularly when you do it in a knowing way. And then on the other side, there are people saying the stories, the narratives are important and the players are not. And this, of course, causes a real question about authenticity in history. And that's exactly the core of historiography. I can't say that I've come down one side or the other on this particular casting, because history does this all the time. History creates culturally constrained perspectives and then uses that to try and understand the world. That's the nature of the beast. That's why I'm not a historian, but an archaeologist.